Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time this evening, thankful for the opportunity of life you have given us. We were thankful, Lord, for this privilege we have to be able to listen to a gospel message this evening. Lord, while we are in the throes of a pandemic, Lord, we know you know our circumstance, but thank you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be able to hear words that can encourage us, that can edify us. Lord, we pray that Brother Rowe will preach the gospel. We pray, Lord, that our hearts are open to receive with meekness the engrafted word, and pray, Lord, that we listen attentively. We believe the words that he will declare. Pray, Lord, that someone listening this evening will make that great act of boldness and desire to be saved according to your New Testament scriptures. We pray, Lord, for the listeners, Lord, that perhaps someone is in a circumstance in their life that they may have fallen away. Pray, Lord, they can be restored this evening if they also listen to what your gospel commands them to do and to get back underneath the cover of our blood, of the cover of the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Be with us at this time. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder, and I am very grateful that God has blessed you and I to come together, and I appreciate you so very much, Brother Flunder, for being my co-host, and you are doing an outstanding job of helping me with this. Neither of us understood, or when we thought about this idea, we did not know the impact it would have, not only on the Church of Christ, members of the Church of Christ, but our friends and family and loved ones who are calling as our visitors. And when you and I talked about this idea, I think you would agree that we did not understand what God was doing at the time. So I want to thank you personally, Brother Flunder, for being my co-host and helping me with this project. And I ask those of members of the church to please give him an encouragement as well, for he's certainly blessed me by being my co-host on this call. You all, tonight, we are very thankful to have every person on the call tonight, every precious soul that's not a member of the Church of Christ. Now, you are our VIP. Now, you have never felt special. Hope tonight, Brother Brooks is giving you that special feeling of a VIP, important person, a very important person. Why is that, Brother Brooks? Why am I so important? Because I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. Because in the Churches of Christ, we believe that God has given us the answer to save what's precious to every one of us, and that is our souls. And we believe the answer to that information, that question, is in the book called the Bible. And we do not believe that there's any error in the Bible. We believe it's God's inspired word, his breath in our face when we read it. And because of that, you're the VIP. Because if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, that means you have not heard of the one church, which is the Church of Christ, the only one in the Bible, the only breath coming from God. You haven't heard of his plan of salvation to save what's precious to you is your soul. So that makes you our VIP. And so tonight we have selected, as we said in our introduction, speakers that will bring us the truth from the Word of God. And tonight, I am so excited to introduce my friend, a long-term friend, and his brother will come on tomorrow night. We'll have a double roll, what I say, a double roll dose. But Brother Gene Rowe tonight, my friend from the Westward Church of Christ, located 302 North Westward, Texas City, Texas. He's going to come tonight, you all. And he's going to talk to us tonight about the truth about, notice this, there is the blood of the New Testament. The blood of the New Testament. I wonder, Brother Rowe, what is the truth about the blood of the New Testament? I know I drink that blood every Sunday, but I want you to tell us, what is the truth about the blood of the New Testament? You all give your ears to hear my friend, Brother Gene Rowe.
Truly, the great God of heaven has blessed us to be here tonight. And I want to thank him so much because we would not be alive nor even able to enjoy this moment without the goodness of God. I also want to thank Brother Flunder and also Brother Brooks, my good friend, for the great work that they're doing with this gospel call. It is doing great works, and I believe that fruit will be born from it that will expand the bounds of the kingdom, and we know that God will be glorified. If you will, at this time, get your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26, and hold your finger on about verse number 28. And prior to reading that scripture, I wanted to cover two terms or two definitions that will be essential to an understanding of this message for tonight. First is the idea of covenant. Covenant. A covenant is an agreement of solemn and binding force between two parties brought into effect by blood sacrifice. A covenant, an agreement of solemn and binding force between two parties brought into effect by cutting or blood sacrifice. Next is the word testament. A testament is a will or a declaration of a person's wishes that will become effective after the death of the person who made the will. Again, a testament is a will or declaration of a person's wishes that becomes effective after the death of the person who made the will. Now, from Matthew chapter 26, the setting or the scene is where the apostles of Jesus Christ are gathered together with Christ, and they have just enjoyed or just partaken of what is called the Passover meal. And of course, the Passover meal under the Old Covenant is covered in Exodus chapter 20 through chapter 23, and that covenant was ratified by the blood sacrifice of animals. And it came into effect in Exodus 24, verses 6 through 8. You find here that the people of God at that time agreed under that covenant and under that binding agreement by these words. Exodus 24, 6 through 8 reads this: "And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, 'All that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient.' And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it upon the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words.'" So therefore, the Passover represented what God had done for the Hebrew people. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, the Bible reads this: "And it came to pass, when your children shall say to you, 'What mean ye by this service?' that ye shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped.'" So therefore, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus, under that old covenant, is following exactly what was instituted by Moses for what one must do in order to observe the Passover meal. The Passover meal consisted of a lamb without spot, a lamb without wrinkle, and that lamb had to be sacrificed, and his blood was put on the doorpost during that time. And when the death angel passed by, when he saw the blood, he passed over their home. So therefore, that declaration was instituted at that time, and they observed the Passover meal. But here in Matthew chapter 26, prior to the death of Jesus Christ, he is instituting what we call the Lord's Supper. And in Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says this: "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Therefore, he is instituting the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper is going to become a part of the worship service that the church would engage in after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that would be observed weekly, because he said, "Do this in remembrance of me as often as you gather together." And we're commanded to gather together upon the first day of the week. So therefore, we recognize or we participate in the Lord's Supper every single week, because that's what Scripture commands for us to do. So therefore, when Christ is instituting this particular situation, he is showing to them that it is no longer going to be the Passover meal. There will be another sacrifice. There will be another institution that will come in place of the sacrifice of the animal. And it was actually told to us by John the Baptizer in John chapter 1 and verse number 29, where he said unto his disciples at that time, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And of course, John was pointing out and showing to his disciples none other than Jesus Christ. So therefore, we are seeing the movement from the Old to the New Testament. We're seeing how this is going to take place, and we're going to see the need for a new covenant. Why would there be a need for a new covenant? Why can't we continue to be under the old covenant? Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And I want you to, we're going to start reading at about verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 7, the Bible says this: "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." So therefore, there was necessary that the new covenant would come in. And the reason that it would have to come in is because the old was not efficient. It was not strong enough. It was not set up to the point to where it could serve under the New Testament. And in the New Testament, what had to happen, there had to be the change, and change had to take place. Change in the priesthood had to take place. Change in all of these different things had to take place, because you cannot serve under one law and do things under another law. You must be under one law, and because of that, we now have the institution of the New Testament. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 13. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 13, the Bible says this: "In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." So therefore, we are not under the old covenant on today. We are under the new covenant by way of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the picture is seen very clearly, and before I move to Hebrews chapter 9, I want to cover something that is stated in Hebrews chapter 8. There is a reference that is made in Hebrews chapter 8 about what God was going to do that was prophesied, and it was spoken, and as it was spoken, he is telling us these things are going to be done in the future sense. And in the future sense, it took place at it was spoken by Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses number 31 through verse 34. This is exactly what the Hebrew writer is making reference to. This is what Jeremiah had prophesied that God would do. He would make the old would no longer be effective, because not because God had broken the covenant, but because the people had broken the covenant with God. And so therefore, God in his mercy and God in his grace is going to establish a second covenant, a new covenant, but it's not going to be with the sacrifice of the blood of animals or bulls or goats. It will be by the precious blood of his son, Jesus the Christ. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, turn to Hebrews chapter 9, and let's start at about verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 11, the Bible reads this way: "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He goes on to say, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Brothers and sisters, and those that are listening here tonight, the Hebrew writer is emphatically clearing this situation up and telling us that Christ is the high priest of things good to come. And it was a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. And he's saying that it wasn't by the blood of bulls or goats or calves or any other thing, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Christ is the one who purged our conscience, who cleansed us from our sin. But he had to shed his precious blood because he was that perfect lamb, that lamb without spot, that lamb without wrinkle, and that lamb who was perfect, the perfect sacrifice that qualified what God would say would be suitable for a sacrifice that would please Almighty God. Now, let's go a little bit further. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, and let's begin at verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 15. The Bible says this, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. That's what we were referring to in Exodus chapter 24 and verses number 6 through 8. That covenant under the Old Testament was ratified or brought into existence, brought verified and came into surety by the blood of animals under that law. And here in Hebrews chapter 9, he is saying that not only is Jesus the one who sacrificed, but Jesus is the mediator. Remember in John chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible tells us that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Moses was the mediator of the old law, but Jesus is the mediator of the new law. And so because of what he did for us, he had to die, he had to be buried, and he had to rise from the grave in order for this testament to become active and alive after the church had started when the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached and it was obeyed. Because the testament was not becoming effective until the testator, who is the one who is the writer or the initiator of the will, once the testator has died, now his will can become effective. So therefore, the New Testament did not begin until Jesus gave his life on the cross. And after he gave his life on the cross, now you have the New Testament to begin, and that's why he was covering what he was with his apostles in the Last Supper to let them know what to look for in the New Testament, how his blood would be the New Testament that which he would not be under the Passover anymore because he is the Passover. So therefore, he is instituting this, he is bringing all this about, and he shows us he is not only the mediator, but he is the testator of the New Testament. Now, let's look further in Hebrews chapter 9 and looking at verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 19. The Bible says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of goat of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you, going back to what we stated in Exodus 24. Now, he goes on to say, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, blood is no remission. So, brothers and sisters, you see that the blood is so important. Not only is it the blood of the New Testament, but without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin. There is no removal of sin. That's why it was necessary that Christ be that sacrificial lamb to take away our sins, because no one else qualified to be sinless other than Jesus the Christ. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and beginning at verse 23. The Bible says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The better sacrifices is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, his blood was better than that of bulls and of goats, and therefore the Old Testament no longer had strength when Jesus came and gave his life. Now you have better promises. Now you have a better covenant. Why? Because now you have a great high priest, not only one who would go into the holies of holies and sacrifice and offer up for himself and the rest of the people. He, without sin, went in and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, and looking at verse number 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet hath that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Thank you, God Almighty, that he didn't have to come and repeat what he did to sacrifice himself. He didn't have to repeat his shedding of his blood year after year after year. The priest had to kill the animals, and it was rolled back 1 year, but the next year it would have to come back and repeat the process all over again. Christ came once and for all, and he is not going to offer himself in that way anymore. He did it when he died on the cross. He shed his blood for the remission and the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, it says in verse 27 and 28 of Matthew chapter 9, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There is no need for anyone to die in their sin and to not see the face of God with peace. There is no excuse. There is no reason why you should miss heaven being disobedient to the will of Almighty God. God, before the world ever began, had hidden in himself the mystery, had hidden in himself the process, the plan by which he would save the entire world. It would be through the precious blood of his son, Jesus the Christ. And one thing before I extend heaven's invitation that I want to make sure that's really clear on tonight, you have to understand in Galatians chapter 3 that Paul really made emphatic and clear to the Galatian church how things were set up and how things would be, because there were Judaizer teachers that were coming and getting them all mixed up with what was true about the New Testament, what was true about the church, and also what was true about the gospel. They were trying to tell the members of the church that they had to go back under the law, and Paul had to come and straighten things out and let them know that before the law ever came into existence, God had given the promise, and he gave the promise through his servant Abraham. And that promise was that through his seed, all all the families of the earth would be blessed. And he went to make that perfectly clear. He said, not seeds as of many, but seeds as one, and that being Jesus Christ. Therefore, he let us know that that seed who God spoke to Abraham about, it wasn't Isaac, it wasn't Jacob. He was talking about none other than Jesus the Christ. Jesus would come in the lineage of Abraham, and he would be that seed that would bring salvation to the entire world and would bring the new covenant because it would be instituted by his blood. He went on to say in Galatians chapter 3, when you cover the entire chapter, he let them know that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Thank you, Almighty God. We are no longer under that old covenant. We have a new covenant that was instituted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that particular thing that Jesus did for us, he sacrificed himself that you might be saved from your sin, that you would not have to suffer and pay the penalty, which would be everlasting fire, hell in hell. Fire. You do not have to go down that route. If you choose to do his will, if you choose to just simply obey his testament, obey his will that came into effect after his death, because he was a testator, there is no need to die in your sins, because when you die in your sins, where he is, you cannot come. So therefore, as we look at this on tonight, I want to show us something in 1 John chapter 2, verses number 1 and verse number 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verses number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a helper. We have someone who is there to assist us, someone there who is to help us. He goes on and says this in verse number 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank you, Almighty God. That's such a big word, propitiation. Well, what does it mean? It simply means this, that Jesus coming and being obedient to the Father's will and sacrificing himself on the cross as a lamb led to the slaughter, he satisfied God's just demand for sin to be punished. That's why he is. That's literally what propitiation means. It means that simply it satisfies what God had rendered is the penalty for sin. The penalty for sin was death. Jesus had to die for our sins. And that's exactly what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses number 1 through verse number 4, it simply states that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. Thank you, God, that we had the propitiation which would satisfy what God deemed as acceptable penalty for sin. No one else could serve in that capacity other than Jesus the Christ. Now, what has to happen for someone that's listening on tonight? You've heard that we're now under this new covenant, the new covenant, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. It ratified, it brought into effect the new covenant. And the Jesus, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said to Peter, I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom. Well, what does one need to do? Well, Peter exercised. He used the authority that God gave him during that time. In Acts chapter 2, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, in verses number 20 through verse number 22, Peter preached the fact that Jesus died. He was buried, but death could not hold him, and he rose from that grave. He cleared up the fact that he wasn't talking about David, because he said, David, his sepulchre is yet with us today. He went on to let them know that I'm talking about Jesus Christ, and he went on to let them know that you don't have to die in your sins. And the people said, we hear what you're saying. What do we need to do? What is it that we need to do? Peter gave them the answer in Acts chapter 2 in verse number 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and it was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Brother Roe, where were they added? I'm so glad you asked. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, Peter said, the Bible says here, that praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The same church that Jesus said he promised to build in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, it came into existence in Acts chapter 2 after the first Pentecost, after the death, burial, and resurrection, after Jesus had resurrected from the grave. And now what one must do in order to be baptized has been preached unto the people. They have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a saving message that Jesus died for their sins. He was buried, and he rose from the grave. They believed this message. They had to repent of their sins. Acts chapter 8 lets us know in verses number 35 through verse number 39, when Philip preached the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And then Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And then the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So therefore, not only must you hear the gospel, you must believe the gospel, you must repent of your sins, you must confess the sweetest thing that's ever been uttered on mortal tongue, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and you come up out of that water, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all is new, and the Lord himself adds you to the church of Christ. And you remain faithful to the church, you remain faithful to the Lord. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, and when you remain faithful, God fulfills his promise. He'll give you a crown of life, and it will not fade away. For those that are listening on tonight, this blood is important. This blood is necessary. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5 as we end on tonight. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. Let me show you the effects of this blood, and let me show you what John had to tell us in Revelation 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You cannot be a member of the church without having your sins washed in his blood. And you cannot do that unless you hear that powerful gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. That blood washes away your sins. It is not the washing of your skin, as in one taking a bath, but it is the answer of God to a good conscience. God operates on your heart, and he does it through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that we understand the truth about the blood of the New Testament, and thank God for the sacrificial lamb, and that is our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. May God bless you, and may God keep you, is my prayer. And may God receive all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Roe. I appreciate you so very much, and we are thankful that you have dealt with the truth about the blood of the New Testament. You've shown us there's a difference between Old Testament and the New Testament. And many people today need to know. Many are trying to live under the Old Testament. However, we're under a new law, a New Testament. You've shown us that. And for those who are on the call tonight, and you're not members of the Church of Christ, the reason I brought Brother Roe on to preach about this truth about the blood of the New Testament, so you can understand there are certain things that the New Testament says to save our soul that wasn't required on the Old Testament. And that is, number one, you got to be baptized to be washed in the blood of Jesus, who was the Lamb of God. And then every Sunday, every first day of the week, there is a command given to us by Jesus the Christ, who said, This you do in remembrance of me. That's called communion, the Lord's Supper. So let me say it to you very simply. If you're not drinking that blood every week, you're not keeping that covenant or that law, and your soul is in danger, my friends. You're not in the church he purchased with that same blood, which is the church of Christ. We don't say that to be mean. We say that because that's what's written in the book that we believe in, that Jesus died to purchase his wife, his bride, the church of Christ. And because we believe that, that's all we're going to say. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. What's revealed, Brother Brooks? It's what's in the Bible. So tonight we put this call on to our friends and family. You allowed us to come into your home with 30 minutes, for 30 minutes. We bring a preacher in who believes just like I believe that the Bible has the right answer. Now my question to you is, do you believe that? So if you believe that the Bible has the right answer over me, over Brother Rowan, any other preacher, then you will believe what Jesus said. This is the blood of the New Testament. So my friends, have you been baptized and washed in that blood? Are you in that blood purchased church, which is called the Church of Christ? Are you taking that blood every week? Every Sunday, are you drinking that blood of the New Testament? You say, Brother Brooks, I'm not doing that. Well, then you're not saved. I don't say that to be mean. I say that because if I'm standing by you on that day, on the day of judgment, and you look at me and I look at you and I say, no, it's on your record that on July 6, 2020, you was on a call and I simply told you that you were not saved. You didn't believe it. The people who will miss heaven is those who don't believe in the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you'll believe in baptism. You'll believe in the Church of Christ. You believe in taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and a lot of other things you believe in, if you follow the Bible. And you know what? You don't even have to have a higher education to understand it. Jesus made it very simple. So we thank you, Brother Rowe, for bringing that to us. Thank you for giving the invitation to our visitors. And we pray our visitors have heard tonight. They have received with meekness God's engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. Now, if you have a question, you want to be baptized, you say, I want to be baptized, I want to be in the Church of Christ, I want to do it just the way the Bible said do it, then you email us, nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will arrange for your baptism, we'll arrange for further Bible studies for you, no matter where you are in the United States. And by the way, tonight we have those from India. That we are three, some of our members are three-way in, those who are in here. And we want to pray in particular for Bilam, who gets in his closet to listen to this message from us, from the United States. Isn't that powerful? It's sad at the same time. He has to hide in his closet to hear our word. But he's hearing it tonight. And when our members of the Church of Christ are allowing them to hear it, he's asked us to pray for him. Here's what I want to emphasize. No matter where you are in the world, as the eunuch was in the desert, if you're seeking the truth, God will provide for you to hear it. And he will provide water, as he did in the desert for the eunuch, so you can be baptized. Why? Because baptism is commanded. We've had a lot of baptism recently, and many people have obeyed the gospel as a result of this gospel call. Tonight, we thank you so very much for calling in. We got some. This week is going to be a great week. You know, if you got a boat, if you're in a boat and you got one person rowing, and that it's not going to go as good as you got two. So we got a double row coming up. But Brother Gene Rowe, his father was a preacher, and his brother tomorrow night, Brother Mark Rowe. We got a double row this week coming on to row the boat of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming from Paducah, Kentucky. Walking in the light for continuous cleansing. And what we're emphasizing this week is that if you don't believe in the blood of Jesus, you won't be saved. So it's the blood of the New Testament. And until you can't be saved. Once saved, always saved. You must continue to walk in that light, following the word of God. Brother Mark will talk to us about that tomorrow night, to have the continuous cleansing that you need. And Brother Andy Aaron would come on Wednesday night, the blood of the cross. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why was that blood so precious? Why was he the Lamb, the last Lamb slain. Why did John see him and say, this the Lamb of God? Why, that blood was precious. And he's going to talk about that. And it happened on the cross in on Calvary or Golgotha, the place of third. Then, brother, one Thursday night, Brother Gary Collins, who I've grown very dear to, I've always known him, we're very good friends, what it means to be lost. And some people think that they're going to be saved because they're good people. What does it mean to be lost? He's going to talk to about that tomorrow. Now, he'll tell us the truth about that. We'll close this week out with Brother Alan Webster. Brother Webster would talk about, you know, what Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. But in verse 16 where it says, he that believe it not shall be damned. Those are people that are in trouble. You know what? I think Brother Webster can help us understand that. I don't want to be in that number. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that number. So tonight, if you say, Brother Brooks, I want to know more. I want to go back and listen to Brother Rowe again. I like that sermon on the blood of the cross. I like the sermon that was done in May by Brother so-and-so, whoever, whatever topic you need to go back and review, go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. Let me say that slowly. HollandHeightsCoc.net. Click on sermons at the top of your page, Nationwide Gospel Meeting, Gospel Meeting Call. And there, all of the sermons are there. You also go to our YouTube. You can go to our Facebook. We're sharing it with everyone. You know what we're doing? We're speaking the truth and love. And here's what we're also doing. We want everyone to know this. Yes, we're in a pandemic. We still believe God is in control. Yes, there's racism all over the world. Here's what we believe, though. Listen carefully to me. All souls matter to us. All souls matter to us. Why are we doing these calls? Because all souls matter to us. So, we love you. We thank you for joining us. We hope you'll come back tomorrow night. And to our brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you for those encouraging emails you all are sending us. And the encouragement for us to continue. And guess what? I'm going to go on and announce it. Yes, we're going to go through May. We're going to go through August. But we're going to talk about some old school stuff like, why did we say in the Church of Christ, speak where the Bible speak and be silent where the Bible is silent? We are still those people. We still believe that we're Bible-toting, Bible-believing people because God's remnant have never left this truth. He always has some who will not be liberal, they will not be conservative, they will be scriptural. You can be too liberal. You can be too scriptural, too conservative, but you can never be too scriptural. August, we're going to emphasize that. So call in tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30 to hear another message from the Word of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. We thank you for Jesus the Christ, your Son. Your only Son, we thank you for giving him, Lord, Father, for loving us and telling us through your word, greater love had no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend, and that you commended your love toward us. You showed us that while we were yet sinners, you would send your only child to die for us. I don't know of many parents, Father, that will give their only child for people who are unworthy. But because of your grace, because of your mercy, you gave us that blessing, that grace, that truth, and we thank you. Now we pray for our listening audience tonight. We pray for our sisters and brothers in Christ that they are revived, restored, and reminded that we believe the truth. If they have left the truth, or there are liberal congregations who have left the truth, that they will move and remove themselves and revive and restore back to New Testament Christianity, New Testament blood, and bleed the blood of the New Testament and that of the testator, who is your Son, our Lord, and our Savior. Father, we thank you. Help them tonight to receive this message with meekness and understand that we at Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, and their minister believe that what we're doing is telling the world that we believe that we must speak the truth in love, and we speak that truth to save our souls. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is my prayer tonight that you have a peaceful night's rest, especially if you've been washed in the blood and you're a member of the purchased blood, the Church of Christ, and you're drinking that blood every week. But if you have not, you probably won't be as peaceful as you could be, but you can obey. And you can lay your head on your pillow, which one night will be the dying pillow. But don't die in sin. For Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. Brother Tommy Brooks, minister of the Church of Christ in Highland Heights, located 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. We love you. Have a good night.